Friends with Beer.
Peter, I need this beer more than you will ever know right now.
I think you need that beer more than I need this beer, and I could really use this beer.
The technology rage is building inside of me.
Technology can't even, but we have established that on a previous no longer existent podcast.
That's right. So let's talk about our beers. You go first because your beer was probably ready first.
I am going tonight. Going tonight. A Golden Road Brewing Mango Cart Mango Wheat Ale.
That looks very good.
I had this this past weekend. And was good enough that I looked it up and found it in a local store and bought a 15 pack.
You and I are definitely in the summer of fun mood because, once again, I've got something a little fruity. I've got the Ex Novo.
Ex Novo.
It's called the Cactus Wins the Lottery, and it is a... I can't read that. It's very dark in here. Sour ale with prickly pear.
Excellent. A fruity, summery beer. Oh, that sounds delicious.
Oh, I just got... I'm going to lick my pop filter here.
That's gross.
Okay. Probably is. If a man can't lick his pop filter, what can he lick?
I don't even.
Oh, are you asking me to stop?
Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
That first sip, right? Ding. Let's hope your day at least gets better from here.
It will. It already is. So that was the most easily fixed of the technology problems that I've had lately.
Have you tried turning it off and on again?
I didn't actually turn it off, but I did reboot it.
Well, functionally, that's pretty much the same. What the hell happened? So, listener, what you don't know is that the FaceTime call with Scott right now just hung up as I'm saying this. So I'm going to try calling him back and see what happens. It's ringing. That was interesting. It's still ringing on his side. And now it says that Scott's FaceTime is unavailable. I guess I'll just sip my beer. Oh, now he's calling. Oh, hi, Scott. You're back.
You're still recording, right?
I'm still recording.
I'm going to have to edit out some swear words. All of a sudden, what happened to you? Did your light go out on purpose?
I think that my lady in the tube just heard me give a command, which I did not give. Alexa, turn on third floor lights.
My screen went black, and I thought, oh my god, I can't believe it, because I've replaced the power supply in this Mac, and I haven't had any power off issues ever since. And that was, I don't know, what, months ago, a year ago, whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Over a year ago now, I guess. And all of a sudden, my screen went black, and I lost my FaceTime call, but everything else was running, so I think... I don't know.
For me, the call just died, and I figured that you either got frustrated and hung up, or that you got hit by a meteor.
Why not both? If I get hit by a meteor, Peter, I am going to be frustrated, and
really
I may
frustrated.
Hang up.
And you may hang up, yes. The lights are turning on. Alexa,
so where were we?
Turn on lights.
Where were we?
We were talking about our beers, and I was talking about how I have a Mango Cart beer, which I had first I think it was Saturday, after a 10K run with my buddy Greg.
Mm-hmm.
And we both liked it, and so, you know, I immediately... bought myself a 15 pack. So this is like the third or fourth time I think I've had this beer now.
Wait.
And it's really good.
Earlier, didn't you say a 10 pack? And then it was a 12 pack and now it's 15 pack? You keep increasing.
No, it was a 15 pack.
Okay. And once again, I have Cactus Wins the Lottery Sour Ale with Prickly Pear by Ex Novo. And it is a sour ale and it's quite good. I like it.
Well, I'm glad that they didn't lie about that, because I would hate to like take a big swig of what you thought was a sour ale and find out it was a Belgian quad or something.
Yeah, no danger of that. So how are you?
So, I'm okay. I'm all right.
I hope you're doing better than me, technologically speaking.
I mean, that's hit or miss, really. You know, I took a meeting today. Took a meeting while out on the trail running. So that was fun.
So you were heavy breathing into your meeting.
I didn't have anything to say the entire time. Well, no, about 35 minutes into it, they said some things that I had to say. Wait, no. Not accurate, not safe.
Oh, I thought they were like, Peter, what should our business strategy be? And you says,
why make trillions when we could make billions?
That sounds kind of like them, yeah. No, it was more like, hey, you know what? The security team, you guys have grown to a point where we need to have you on call. because someone called me out specifically and said, we had, you know, during this outage last week when, like, this entire hospital was offline, Peter Nicolaitis was very helpful. So the chief health information officer for the hospital, which is my largest engagement, said, we should have him on call pretty much effectively 24/7. And I was just like, ha, we need to talk more money. Because they thought that I would just do this as part of my existing contract. And I was like, yeah, no.
But doesn't your boss have a say in this?
He said, we'll talk about it.
To you or to them?
Us. And then he talked about it and he said that he's planning on not doing anything and hoping that it just blows over.
Are these people that have the ability to tell him what to do?
Yeah.
And or to pressure him into quitting and leaving the country?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. But then I would just say, okay, well, my work is done here. Goodbye.
Yes. So. I've done everything I could, which apparently is nothing.
Yeah, pretty much. Quantum et demonstratum. So not just technology, but you were having a little bit of a fit with technology before this too, like yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah.
It had something to do with horses that they rode in on. Every horse, I think, if I recall.
Every horse they rode in on.
Yeah. What were you going to do to these horses and why?
I said them and every horse they rode in on.
Got it. Shouldn't our bleep sound be the sound of a can opening?
It should be. And I will get one.
Okay, yes, just making sure. Maybe we could record our own. We can rehearse that a few times.
That's a good idea.
It may need many takes.
Maybe we should do that now. Maybe we should go through your 15-pack trying to get the right sound.
Awesome. So what was up? What was technology frustrating you last few days?
I have an external heart rate monitor for when I exercise, and it is a armband heart rate monitor.
Wahoo Ticker Fit?
Wahoo Ticker Fit.
Same one I have.
That is correct, and it has been, it's just more reliable. Like, I have an Apple Watch. Apple Watch, to me, is something I can't have any downtime on for exercising. But In terms of a heart rate monitor, it's on your wrist. It's very hard for an optical heart rate sensor to be accurate when it's on your wrist. It's just not the best.
That said, let me interrupt you for just a quick second. Back when I got my watch, my Apple Watch, it was rated as the most accurate when it came for fitness tracking in its class.
In its class, that's right.
But that's the class of wrist-based heart rate monitors.
Yeah, and it is very accurate for that. It's quite good. It's just, I wanted something a little more accurate, and I bought the Wahoo Ticker Fit, and when I bought it, it was really reliable. I got good results from it.
Mm-hmm.
Over time, and I don't know why, but over time, it has started to lowball me. Seriously, I know when I'm doing 109 beats per minute and when I'm doing 140 beats per minute. I can tell the difference.
Mm-hmm.
I did some math, by the way. Let me see.
140 is greater than 109, if that's what you're wondering.
Yeah, but just in a workout that I did the other day, for example, the heart rate monitor, the external heart rate monitor was giving me 6.6 calories per minute, if you do the math. And the Apple Watch one was calculating me out at 8.8 calories per minute. That's based on heart rate.
Got it.
That's because of the difference in heart rate that it was measuring.
Got it.
Over an hour, that equates to, external heart rate monitor would say, okay, his heart rate was such that he's burned just under 400 calories. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Apple Watch would say, no, he's done 528. Now extrapolate that to 90
That's
minutes.
A beer.
Yeah. Pretty soon, I'm putting in an extra half hour to 45 minutes to get the same amount of calories burnt.
Yep.
And it's frustrating, and I don't want to do that. I'm not exercising just for the fun of it. I do longer work. Like, I don't just work out for 40 minutes or whatever. I typically do an hour to 90 minutes, sometimes 2 hours. Yeah, that's fine. But if I'm going to do that, I want to know reliably how many calories I'm actually burning.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know why. I don't know if it was a software update. I did see some things on Reddit. People were saying the latest firmware update borked them as well. All I know is I've decided that external optical sensor heart rate monitors and me are not friends. My Apple Watch, though, the last 2 days has been pretty good, and it's been giving me about what I think should be. But the whole reason I went away from it to begin with was I was getting, just because of where it's positioned, I would get sweaty.
Yep.
Et cetera. You know all the reasons why.
Yeah.
So now I've ordered a chest strap heart rate monitor, and those are not optical.
Right.
Those use electrodes.
Okay.
And so I'm going to see how that goes.
I have been using the Wahoo Ticker Fit since you told me about it, and I love mine's great.
Mine used to be great too.
But the reason I bought mine was as of watchOS 7, the Apple Watch completely lost its ability to give me accurate heart rate for at least like 15, 20 minutes of any running workout. It would start out, and I can always tell, like, those days when I have forgotten to make sure that the ticker fit is paired with my watch, because I'll glance down at the workout, and it shows, like, no heart rate. And on those days, you look at it, and you'll see the heart rate is showing at, like, 180 or 190 beats per minute.
Right.
Which is not where I'm at.
That's the problem with optical heart rate monitors, and that is the problem in specific with the Apple Watch. Adjusting the band can make a difference. Sliding it up and down the arm slightly can make a difference.
Absolutely.
That's what I was having with the Wahoo, though, where I would just barely adjust it, and I would get a 20 or 30 beat per minute difference.
Yep.
And it's like, which is real? Who knows? Pick one.
So on that note, now here's the thing. For me, though, I've had an Apple Watch Series 2, a Series 4, and it's now a Series 6. Mm-hmm. I had the same problem with the 4 and the 6. When watchOS 7 came out, the 4 completely lost its ability to get an accurate reading early on in my runs.
Have you thought about not getting even numbered watches?
Well, the 7 should be coming out next month, so sure, why not? Let's try it.
Yep.
So I got the ticker fit, and I love it. Now, on that note, a year and a half ago, last March, I ran my first 13.2 miles. Not part of a race, just a personal best, longest run ever.
Yeah.
This Sunday, I ran 13.25. So last year, it was 13.21. And this year, I ran 13.25 just on Sunday. And the times between those two were within like 5 seconds of each other. But the heart rate last year was shown as an average of 165 beats per minute. And this year it was like 135 beats per minute.
Do you believe that 165? That seems awfully high.
165 is when I'm working pretty hard.
Yeah, that's hard work.
So now I'm starting to question those numbers. Although I will say this year it felt a lot easier than it did last year.
Oh, I'm sure you're more fit and I'm sure that you're more efficient. And for the same exercise, your heart rate's not going to be as high. But running for 13 miles at 165 beats per minute,
It seems pretty stressed out. I would have been like, you know, like really working hard.
Yeah. Right.
But that makes me wonder then. That means like basically I have years of heart rate data, which is unreliable.
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, on that note, I need to move on to beer number two.
Ooh.
Same one as last time. Yeah. A return appearance is Ithaca Brewing Company's Apricot Wheat. So I'm going from a mango wheat beer to an apricot wheat beer. Now, I remember this one. I like the flavor and the taste profile of this.
You almost said the taste prophylactic. I heard you.
Prophylactic, exactly. Yeah. No, I mean, that taste prophylactic, that's like a beer that tastes so garbagey that you just don't even want to drink it. It keeps you away. This one is not as sweet as the mango cart. But it's got a very, you know, nice, profound apricot flavor. So, cheers.
Cheers. I'm still on my first beer. I'm going to go get my second one, which will be another one that I haven't had before.
Ah, I thought about that, too. I actually did think about burning through, because I had 7 new beers in my fridge. Most of them wheat beers and stuff. And I thought, I was like, well, I could go through, too. Thank you. You're catching up. Good job.
Yeah, I'm out.
But I decided I also have a lot of these apricot wheats here, too. So, I should, you know, like, burn through one of those. So, that's what I'm doing. So. So, yeah, I mean, unquestionably, I still love my Apple Watch, but my friend, so speaking about our issues with fitness trackers, I think this is like the fitness tracker slam episode. So my buddy Greg runs with a Fitbit. I don't remember which model. Let me ask him. What model Fitbit do you have?
My dearest Gregory.
My dearest Gregory, may I make of you an inquiry? So we'll ask him what it's not like the super duper top of the line latest and greatest. I don't know what he runs, but he has been having issues with his distances. Now, he is training for the Bay State Marathon, which is literally, it's 2 months away from today, actually. So I have in the past have volunteered to just run along with him as long as it made sense.
for now, I think this weekend, this coming Sunday, I think he's planning on either 14 or 15 miles and stuff. And his, you know, it goes up to about that. But it's mostly he's doing like 6 miles, 3 miles, 6 miles, 15, 6, 3, 6, right. 16, 6, 3, 6, 14, whatever.
He's not doing too many multiple long days in a row. He's alternating.
Yeah. So I'll probably go with him all the way up to, but not including the marathon. So
you should include the marathon.
It's not really a. Maybe I don't know. But anyway, so I'm sort of half-heartedly half training for a marathon now, which includes effectively a half marathon every week.
You've run more than one half marathon unsupported. Like The only time I ever ran half marathon distance, it was in a supported event, so I could run by somebody and grab a drink out of their hand or whatever.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, anyway, so that's what's fun. But he is also having trouble, you know, challenges, because he's a Strava guy. So he uses Strava. Like me, he will often use Footpath to plot a route.
Mm-hmm.
I like Footpath because it lets you plot out a route and then send it to your Apple Watch. And, you know, it'll tell you turn left here and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's got better support for trails than something like Google or Apple Maps.
Yes.
So he has his Fitbit and he has been getting inconsistent results. The GPS just fritzes out. And I think that it seems to be just like basing or estimating his distance based on step count. Now, that said, we were almost exactly 5K from my house on our way back, just finishing like the last 3 miles. And I told him, you know, no, like, this is going to work out just perfectly, because from this cemetery back to my house, it's almost exactly, you know, 5K, because I've done this bunch of times. We did that, and we get back to, you know, the final turn into my street that I live on, and I was still a quarter mile short.
Wow.
And so I'm like, so I don't know what's going on. Okay, so he's got the Fitbit Versa 3 right now.
Okay.
So just for kicks, friend of the show, Adam Bell, has the top-rated Fitbit for things like CrossFit.
Mm-hmm.
And Greg and my running coach, Charlie, has the top-of-the-line Garmin, you know, made for people who are going to be, like, off the grid for 5 days in a row.
Right.
And need something that can do that.
Wait, is this Charlie guy the same guy who was your roommate for a while?
Yeah, that's the same, the one. Who, by the way, you can find at runwithcharlie.run, I believe.
Charlie with beer dot run.
Yeah. No. We'll find that and put a link in the show notes. I'm pretty sure it's runwithcharlie.run. So it's like run with Charlie, run. Run, Charlie, run.
By the way, listeners, I don't know Charlie very well, but I have seen Charlie. And if you, just by going by looks, if you ever want to pick a running coach, that guy is the running coach to pick.
Indeed, yes. If you're going by looks, he looks like a runner code.
That dude looks freaking fit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, yes, it is. It's runwithcharlie.run. Yep, that's it. So we'll definitely put a link into the show notes because everyone will forget that by now. Oh, he picked a new theme for his website, too. That's great. So, anyway, Greg has been having trouble with his Fitbit. And so I told him, dude, you got to get a new one, right? And I was looking really quickly on Amazon and, you know, then I read some reviews. Like, you know, I think it was Tech Target. I read their best running fitness tracker watches for 2021. And I think Garmin was like the number one. And then there was a new brand that neither of us had ever heard of coming in like the number two at four slots. And it was only like $200 compared to the others, which were all like $400, $500, and $600.
What website was this?
This was, I believe it was Tech Target. So we can dig that up. Apple Watch came in the top 10, but it was not, you know, it was like number 9 on the list as far as runners go. But, you know, as much as a runner that I am, I'm more than a runner. And I do appreciate the integration with my iOS devices and be able to make phone calls and stuff like that from the watch.
Yeah, so. Right.
I don't see that changing for me anytime soon. And plus for me, I think the metrics are good enough. So
they are. And honestly, the Apple Watch is really good in terms of, like I said, it's my device that I can't do with any downtime on.
Yeah.
If my Apple Watch craps out, I'm going and buying another one that day. Like, it doesn't matter if I get any money for my old one. It doesn't matter if it gets repaired. I don't care. I'm going to get one that day.
I remember what it was like when mine died last year, just at the start of COVID.
Yeah.
And I was without it for weeks because of the, you know, because of the pandemic. Yeah. And I remember going back to running with a phone for the first time in months, and I hated it.
Sucks.
Yeah. Now, that said, I've been using a running belt by Flipbelt, and that changes the game totally. I almost forget that I'm carrying anything when I have it on me, so it's the next best thing. But I generally, like, on a day like today when I expect to take a call on a meeting, I will bring the phone with me, right? Because it's hard to dial into a WebEx meeting on a watch. But on, you know, days when I just need to be able to, like, take a phone call if someone needs to call me, then I just use the watch. I leave the phone. And most days, I don't even take water with me. If I'm doing, like, more than 10 miles or it's really hot, I'll bring water. But most days, it's just, like, me, my watch, and my running shoes, and I'm good.
See, I could probably do that. I don't know. I drink a lot of water. So, you know how they have these Flipbelt Arc water?
I have one of those. My buddy Greg has the smaller 6-ounce ones. I have the 11-ounce Arc.
I've got a different belt, and it's got bottles about the size of that smaller one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing that I don't like about mine, I don't know how the water bottles attach on this, but on mine, they have these little plastic holsters that go on the belt that they go into, and it looks really stupid, and I'm not really a fan of it. But anyway, just doing that 5-mile run I did the other day outside, for the first time in a long time doing an outside run, I took one of those little bottles with me, and I drink the whole thing. I drink a lot while I exercise. And I don't know if I even want to run 5 miles without water, honestly. Maybe I would, but I don't know.
I found back last year when I was running, and especially like when I did that 13-miler, the first one, it was a crutch for me. I was using it as an excuse to stop and take a sip of water or take a break or something.
Oh, I never stopped to drink, yeah.
Yeah, well, I would. Otherwise, I'd like, you know, start waterboarding myself or something.
Well, these little bottles, they've got a cap that makes it easy to... And, yes. And plus, you got to remember, I'm a cycler. You just keep going while you eat and drink.
Yes.
And same with running. I'll just keep going. And those little bottles I have, they've got a nice little cap. You just pull it up with your teeth, take a squirt, and then push it right back down. You're good to go. You never stop. Yep.
So, you know, that's one way to do it. But I found, like, most days I'm like, I don't need water, you know, so I just leave it behind.
Do you hydrate like crazy beforehand?
I'm still working on that because I don't like having to stop to relieve myself of everything that I hydrated like crazy beforehand. But I find that if I need to give myself at least half an hour after I pound some water before I leave the door. Otherwise, it all wants to come out as soon as I start running.
You know what's weird? Running is different, but in general, once I start exercising, my biological needs kind of go away. However, one big difference between running and biking is the old emergency stop in the woods syndrome. But running definitely brings that out way more than biking does.
Well, you're shaking.
You know what I'm talking about.
But that's the thing is, like, there's an initial hump that you have to cross. You know, so that's it. Maybe that's the whole point of warming up. Maybe that's why you're supposed to do that.
But let me put it this way. I've never suddenly felt like I had to poop while I was riding a bike, but I have definitely had that issue when I've been running.
That's a thing. And in the book, I Hate Running and So Can You, he talks about that on at least 2 or maybe even 3 times in the book about the number of times you have to stop during a run.
Yeah.
And I was like, that should be something that you could plan for. So
yeah, I don't ever want to be running and hear this.
You pooped your pants.
That happens a lot to runners, apparently. So
that's a thing. Hey, I remember watching, what was it? I can't remember where I saw this, but this poor bastard who was running like a marathon. And he just pooped all down his own leg and everything. I mean, it was everywhere. And he just was crying. And I felt bad for the guy because that's horrible. That is just
horrible. Yeah, that is horrible.
That's not...
That's one of the advantages of trail running versus, running in the city.
Yeah, and if it's trail running, first of all, you're probably alone and there's places to hide to poop. But also, if for some reason you do poop down your leg, you can just say you fell in the mud.
Perfect.
And as long as they don't get too close, they won't know the difference.
Gross.
I'm just saying that option's there.
Oh boy. So moving on.
Yeah, but I still. But Peter,
oh, wait, moving back. Back to you.
You talked to the listener about moving back. Whatever you were moving back to. I got to get my second beer, friend.
Oh wow! I thought you already had.
No, it's downstairs in the fridge.
Go get your beer. I'm waiting.
All right.
Well, listener, this is the part in the show where I deliberately talk to you alone, as if Scott, you know, had like technical difficulties or something. So back to my beer. Once again, apricot wheat beer from Ithaca Brewing Company. It is a wheat ale with natural apricot flavor, just like it was last episode. So that hasn't changed. It tastes just like it. So it's nice. It's not sweet. It tastes ever so slightly, do I want to even say hoppier? Let me see if that's the word. No, not hoppier. It's just less sweet than the mango cart, but not in a, you know, not in a bad way. I'm like, obviously, if you want a really sweet beer, this is not the one that you would get. But no, it tastes pretty good. And, you know, I'm enjoying it because I am a wheat beer kind of guy. So that's the kind of thing I like. So I would check it out. But if you are into a lighter, fruitier, sweeter beer, I definitely recommend that you check out Golden Road Mango Cart. On that note,
I have
Rogue.
I have a Rogue Newport Daze, D-A-Z-E. It is a hazy pale ale. My wife sampled this earlier today. It is not an India pale ale.
Good.
And this looks like another light. So we've been doing the light summery beers, and I kind of like that
about this. Well, it's because it's summery.
I agree.
It's light and summery. It's funny you mentioned that, too, because Sam Adams this year, their seasonals are Wicked Easy and Wicked Hazy.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is a summer IPA, and the other is a summer wheat beer. So
This one's not too bad. I kind of like the other one better. But they've got a little star chart here. Can you see this?
I see the star, yes.
And then they highlight the part of it where, so it's more tropical and more citrusy. It's less malty, less bitter, less, what does that word say? Pine. No, no pine. No pine intended. So
no pine intended. Do not pine.
Yeah, so I can taste a little bit of the hops on this, but it is citrusy. If I had to choose between these two beers,
yes,
I would definitely go for the Ex Novo Cactus beer, sour ale, over this.
Ex Novo.
But Rogue is one of my, but I do, there are a lot of good Rogue ones that I like. And I think in the past I've had the Rogue Honey Kolsch style ale on this podcast, and that one's really good. This is pretty good. I don't think I would buy this over their Honey Kolsch style ale for sure.
Okay. Have you had their like Rogue Dead Guy ale or anything like that?
I've had some of those, yeah. I'm not a big fan of those.
Got it. All right, I was just curious.
Yeah. This is good, though. I like it, but I definitely would buy the honey one first.
Excellent.
For any listeners out there.
So I was trying to find the same article on those fitness trackers that I mentioned, and somehow I got redirected over to amazon.co.uk.
Well, TechRadar, I don't know what it is, but it ain't a fitness related website. It's
this is not Tech Radar, sorry. Yeah. Why did you switch me over to... You are shopping amazon.co.uk. I know, and that's the problem.
Yes, that is the problem.
I want to go home.
Thank you for telling me that thing that I don't want to do that I'm currently doing.
Brother,
Peter, technology can't even. We're having quite a week.
Technology can't even.
You know what? Here's what's happening to us.
The right malware can corrupt a machine's entire system. It won't even be able to start. It would take decades for them to recode it.
Whoa.
Decades.
Decades to recode it. Oh my God.
Over 2 terabyte.
Over 2 terabyte of decade.
That's hilarious. Can't make it up.
Yeah, I never watched season 2 of Mr. Robot.
Season 2 was definitely different. At first, I did not like it as much. When I went back and watched some of it again, I realized that it actually was pretty good TV, but it's definitely a different feel. And I can see why it lost some people. But overall, you got to watch the whole series.
Right.
There are some arguments to be made for the ending was disappointing, blah, blah, blah. But overall, it was just a good ride. A lot of violence, a lot of characters dying in unexpected and sad ways. And
cool. Yeah. Can't wait. I really don't like that when a series, I have to assume, I could easily look this up, but I'm lazy. And dear listener, you're paying absolutely $0 for this podcast, so you're getting every cent of your investment back. So, like, I hate it when a series takes, like, a 90-degree turn in the third or fourth or fifth season, or in this case, maybe the second season. Like, I remember, so I did not finish the series, but I watched the first several years of Vikings, which I don't remember was HBO or Showtime. I think it was Showtime. I don't remember.
That's why I never heard of it then.
Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, it's like a fictional account of this, you know, famous Viking and stuff.
Guys with horns.
Those guys, yes. The ones with the horns. The horny guys from Iceland.
I think that's all the guys from Iceland.
Yeah, I'll tell my friend, Jacob. I'm sure he'll agree.
Okay.
I watched the first few seasons. I was like, yeah, this is pretty good. I liked it. And then they change things. They kill off the main character and they make it instead about his sons. And I think what happened was then Amazon picked it up. And like in one, like between seasons, I don't remember, it was 6 and 7 or 5 and 6 or whatnot. The first new episode opens up with the former main character's now ex-wife and her wife, and they are training and doing jiu-jitsu.
Okay.
These are Vikings.
Right.
But they're like, well, you know what we need to do for the next season? We need to make her a lesbian and make them practice jiu-jitsu.
Right.
And I was just like, oh, so this is where you guys jump the shark. Got it. So it was like, and I just, I think I may have finished out that season, but I couldn't go on to the next one. I was like, this is terrible. So,
yeah, I would not say that Mr. Robot took a hard left turn, but I would say that it definitely has a different feel the second season. But it's not out of line with the series once you get through it and realize what's going on.
Yep.
It's not like this makes no sense. It does make sense. It's just that I think based on the first few episodes, some people thought, oh, this entire thing is only going to be about hacking and it's just going to be about the elite computer skills and blah, blah, blah. And it's not. It's a lot more interesting than that. But to be honest,
okay,
that's kind of what kept me going, was that it wasn't just that, because I'm good with that, but I don't really want to watch a show that doesn't go any deeper than that.
Right. There was more to it. Another one that comes to my mind when I think of shows that I initially liked and then took
umbrage at.
A hard right turn.
Oh, okay.
Was this is like more than 10 years ago. The Unit. It starred the guy, I don't remember his name, but he does all the Allstate commercials. And it was about a squad. It was basically Delta Force. And, you know, like the first episode started off and I was like, dude, this is like G.I. Joe. This is awesome. And, you know, like there's some terrorist here. And so they send in this guy and he, you know, taps two Rangers and they like airdrop in and, you know, save the day and whatnot. And I watched the first couple of seasons. I was like, yeah, this is really cool. And then I think it was like the fourth season or something. They introduced Robert Patrick, a.k.a. Terminator 2.
Oh, okay.
As like their new commanding officer. But where they lost me was they decided like, well, you know what command has decided we have to do is we need to include your wives on your missions now.
On the missions?
Yeah. So like they would be doing these undercover things and all of a sudden their wives are now just put into the missions, just part of it, just like that, with like no training or anything.
And well, I was going like, to say, I have zero issue and in fact would welcome them having women involved as well. But those would be people that had trained.
Those would not just be your wife. If you're a Delta Force highly trained operative, doesn't mean that suddenly your wife is too. That's right. Not how it works.
That is not how it works.
I mean, G.I. Joe, they had a couple of strong female figures. There were, I can think of at least four. That's like 1% of the whole thing.
But I just noticed when I was looking at the cast and crew, by the way, whatever happened to IMDb? It is a horrible website now. But anyway,
Amazon bought it.
Wes Chatham is in that. He is in The Expanse, and I really like The Expanse.
Oh, okay. I watched the first episode of The Expanse and could not get into it.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that before, but it gets pretty good.
I've heard that too.
And they get more nuanced with some of the characters, yeah. Like his character in particular, he's a bit of a psychopath who just goes around killing anybody that he deems needs killed. But there's actually more to him than that. And they kind of get into it. They get into why he's that way. They get into him changing a little bit over time, becoming more of a normal person. But it's pretty good. I'm not going to say it's a perfect show, but it's definitely an enjoyable show.
I mean, let's be honest. Haven't we all had days like that?
We have definitely all had days where we felt like, you know what? I've got to kill some people that need to be killed. And by the way, that's pretty much all of them.
There you go.
What else do we have?
We're getting pretty close. I was going to talk a little bit about Windows 365.
Okay, let's hear about it, because I don't know anything about it. Though I use Windows every day at work, I don't have any... Windows is one of those who cares operating. It's there's nothing exciting about it.
It says a guy who is always on a Mac, but for 90% of the rest of the world.
But I mean, it's a who cares thing. It's not for people that really give a shit about their computing experience, I would argue.
Okay.
It's not made for the computing experience. It's made to be a computer operating system. It fulfills that duty. But I also am not mad at it. Like, it doesn't enrage me that I have to use Windows, for example. It's fine. I'll use it at work. It has its uses. We use a lot of Windows Server for different things. We use a lot of Windows Server for systems that have to talk to each other and they need tons of multiple incoming or outgoing connections. And so for that, we use Windows Server. And the reason why we use Windows Server instead of some Unix or Linux variant for that kind of thing is just because it's easier to find C# programmers, apparently, than it is to find people who, the web would argue otherwise, but for applications like ours, apparently mm-hmm. that's the case. So.
Yep. Well, the thing with Windows 365 is essentially it is Windows in the cloud. So it's Microsoft hosting a virtual desktop infrastructure for you.
Okay.
That's what it is.
It's not going to replace desktop Windows, correct?
Well, it could, but you still need something. You need some sort of device to use as the remote desktop client to get to this thing in the cloud.
Right, but what I mean is Microsoft isn't going to say, everyone's going to use this model, no one's going to have Windows running locally on their PC.
No. But as more and more places move to virtual desktop infrastructure because it's more secure, it's more easily backed up and restored, etc.
Right, and somebody logs in and they get their profile. I mean, it's...
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but what I was thinking is, like, when... You know, knock on wood, when this 7-year-old Intel Core i5 desktop of mine finally kicks the bucket and I've got a Macintosh again, I'll probably just replace it with a Windows virtual, desktop in the cloud, either, Windows 365, or maybe I'll use the Amazon offering.
Sure.
But I can see myself not needing a physical Windows device anymore.
That'd be nice.
Which is kind of liberating. because literally I could use it from a tablet. It's not a pleasant experience, but you can do it with a phone.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Tablet, another, Mac, whatever, web browser. So, and that's kind of nice though. Like, being able to always have access anywhere you have internet access, you have access to quote unquote your computer.
Yeah.
So that is pretty cool.
It's like a better RDC experience.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. I'm almost there.
On that note, I just finished mine. Okay. I'll wait for you to catch up.
What else do we got?
I think we went through everything I wanted to cover. Oh, I didn't talk about yoga and meditation, but we can save that till the next episode.
Well, okay. My coworker just sent me a picture of the inside of our toolbox, and there's a screwdriver in there, and it is a Phillips screwdriver, and it is severely bent. And he says, by the way, what kind of bullshit do people work here anymore? Apparently he's not pleased with the bent screwdriver. I mean, it was used as a pry bar. It's pretty obvious.
Apparently people can't even. On that note, I think we should call this a day.
Oh, one thing I haven't listened yet to that Beer Sides that we did the other time. That's like 10 or 15 minutes long. It may or may not be released. I don't know.
I'll have to, I was going to say I'll go back and give it a listen, but apparently I can't.
No. Not right now. It's never been released.
Well, on that note, Scott, if I have to burp, what do I do? Okay. If people want to get in touch with us, what do they do?
Well, they go to friendswithbeer.com or they can tweet at us at friendswbeerpod. Should I use the alias? Why is that so funny? Should I use the alias?
I don't know. It just is. Friends Wabeerpod.
Friends W Beerpod. Should I use the
No
aliens?
One will ever use that. But if you want to, please do. We want your feedback.
And I think there's beer.tweetback.us that will also lead you to Friends W Beerpod.
Back us. Okay. Friends Wabeerpod. I like that. So great. Great. Excellent.
And we do want listeners to talk to us.
We do. We like feedback, even if it's just something silly, You know, if you try one of the beers that we have, you know, tell us what beers you think we should try. And if they're IPAs, no. But you can still tell us.
That's right. If they're IPAs, we'll pretend like we never got your message.
Yeah, so I don't know what happened to that email. It just out in the void somewhere.
Well, we never gave them an email address, so it definitely won't be an email.
So where else can people find you, Scott, on the interwebs? What else are you up to these days?
Well, I am part of Bubble Sort Dust Show, so you can go there. I'm crouching inside that website just waiting for someone to contact me. Bubble Sort also has a Bubble Sort Slack. All the links are on the website. And I have a website called scottwilsley.com. And occasionally I post stuff. I've been posting a series of how I use drafts for publishing blog posts from my iPad Pro using a combination of drafts, actions, and shortcuts. And I think I have an SSH series I need to finish. I don't know. I just publish stuff.
I just remembered we had talked about having you come on to Blurring the Lines and telling Adam how to use his iPad.
Hmm. Does he really want that?
He does.
Oh, okay.
I think he does. Like, more than I do, for sure.
Right.
Right? No, he was, I said that on a recent episode, though, too. So, yeah, I think he might actually, like, look at that and like, well, I never thought about using it like that before. And so
He's
from Tennessee, man. He sounds like that. Trust me.
Not exactly like that.
I've had two beers. Give me some credit. This is what, you've never heard him after he's had a few beers. Maybe that's exactly
correct.
What he sounds.
That is true. But you've got to remember, I've been podcasting with Vic a lot. Vic is from Kentucky and he will out accent Adam any day.
Yeah. Well, on that note, I think we should, as we would say on the Blurring the Lines podcast, we should probably push the big red button.
Tell your friends.